Hello and welcome back to Foolishly Faithful. This is episode 34. The date is Wednesday, March 20th. And as of today, the 2024 MLB season has officially started. The Exciting. Dodgers and the Padres kicked it off in Seoul, Korea this morning. And the Dodgers eked it out in the late innings. But we have started the baseball season. How are we feeling?
I'm really, excited.
We're still asleep.
It's obviously we were still asleep when the game started. 6 a.m. start time today. It doesn't really feel like opening day with just the Dodgers and the Padres playing West Coast teams. But it's excited, you know. 162 is underway. Like, meaningful baseball is being played, even though spring training is still being played. And I'm really excited about this episode because it's going to be our first pretty much all Mets episode. I feel like we talked a lot about in the league the first two episodes, and we're getting to the Mets this week. So really exciting.
I like seeing the text message from Steve this morning saying, it's like, oh, by the way, everybody, baseball season's underway. It's like, oh, crap, I forgot that, you know, we're seeing baseball overseas. And, you know, good to see my fantasy team, like Xander Bogaerts playing. It was like, you know, a little early start. One thing I saw about the game was, I don't know, like, if it was like a celebrity over there or somebody, I think it was like Chan Mi, like Song or somebody. They had a double jersey on. It was like one side was the Padres and one side was the Dodgers. And I kind of liked how they had, you know, brought together the two teams for like a ceremonial first pitch. And at the same time, it's also like super cool that, you know, we're branching out to like other parts of the world. The NFL has been doing it for years, going to London. And now the MLB is expanding on it.
Well, the player that you were thinking of who threw out the first pitch was Chan Ho Park, who was the first South Korean player in the majors, and he played for both the Padres and the Dodgers. So he had that split jersey, which I think is kind of a fun ceremonial
thing. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he played for both teams.
That's probably why they had them start.
Yeah, well, exactly.
That's the significance. Well, you told me something.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but MLB has been around in different countries for a bit, I feel like. I mean, they've done London the past few years. They've been in Mexico.
I remember Mexico City last year.
I think they started in Japan 1 year back as well.
Yeah, they did the whole same thing where they did like a week early, and they had the Mariners may probably play the Dodgers also.
I think it was the Mariners, and maybe I think it was the Mariners and the A's, if I remember correctly. Okay. But yeah. So we'll continue on. We won't talk too much about the rest of the MLB. Like Steve said, this is a mostly Mets episode. This episode, we're going to try to jump into what our roster is going to look like this year, what we can expect, some of the stories we're looking at. We'll look at position battles, rookies who are up and down, stories to watch this year, and then we'll go through some of our ideal lineups and rotations and taking tabs on the players that we got on this roster who are going to help us to success this year.
So before we do move on, I know I'm the one who said we were going to talk mostly about the Mets, but I saw a note today about like the Padres starting lineup, and that all but one person in their starting lineup, including their pitcher, Darvish started today, but everybody but one person in their starting lineup was a former shortstop. I think their third baseman was not, but everybody else was a former shortstop.
And that's like the Marlins, where the Marlins had everyone who was a second baseman, and they decided to put Jazz Chisholm in center field.
Well, don't they say that like playing shortstop is like one of the most like athletic positions out there? So it something to be said about the flexibility of, you know, Machado, Tatis, Profar. Like the names go on. Like there's so many players that have just like traded positions over the years. In contrast to the Mets, where we're trying to figure out our infield.
Didn't the Mets just get a lot of shortstops, though, at the trade deadline last year? So hopefully it works out for the Padres, and hopefully it works out for the Mets.
Well, like Ray said, it's a really athletic position, and it's, I think, like, if you can play there really well, you have a strong arm, you have good at, like, footwork, you have good range, translates well to a lot of positions.
Well, don't let Doug know that. He can't have that victory.
Doesn't matter who Doug is.
Shout out.
Anyways, all right, so let's jump into some Mets discussion. The first category we have are position battles. Obviously, the roster is filling up. As Ray just said, we have a lot of infielders we're looking to put in certain places. We can't play them all at once. Obviously, you only have four positions on the infield. So the first one, let's actually go out to the outfield where we have the decision of where we're going to play Harrison Bader and where we're going to play Brandon Nimmo. Obviously, Bader was brought in because of his defensive expertise and his defensive prowess, but center field has been Nimmo's stage for the past few years. And I think, you know, he's kind of close to feeling like it was going to be his forever, and he's gotten so much better at center field. Is he going to go start just play left field because now we have a new guy in?
Well, question was, is Harrison Bader like a traditional center fielder?
Yes. He's an excellent defensive center fielder.
Oh, okay. I didn't really know that. So yeah,
that's why I got him in. Yeah. I mean, he's a little more stout. He's not as long as Nimmo, but I think he also just has a little more stamina. He's been at the position for a little longer. And he's good. I mean, Nimmo is good too, though. So that's really the question.
I don't know. As cool as it was to see Nimmo in center field and as great as he did last year, if Bader is better and has better range, I'm fine with him being there. I mean, I don't know. We don't have a captain at this point. We can talk about that another time. I feel like Nimmo definitely has a lifelong Met. At this point, he loves the Mets. Mr. Smiles, like, I'd rather like stand on the hill to see him be leadoff hitter than to see him play center field. I mean, to me, it seems almost interchangeable. Like, you know, it's a very similar position. We could almost play them both in both positions and like see who does better. They have pretty similar defensive metrics. I mean, if Bader has a little more range, like let him go for it. I don't care that much for that.
It's almost reminiscent to when we had Lagares. Like, we knew that Lagares was such a strong center field defensive player, and we had people to play in his place, but, you know, ultimately we trusted him because what he could do out in the outfield. And I also like how you mentioned that, like, Nimmo maybe captain. Yeah, he's like long tenured, but like I feel that might be a position for Alonso.
I feel like it's more about ultimately how much playing time is Bader going to get, and what is Nimmo going to do when Bader's out of the lineup. I feel like it does seem like center field is Hader's spot. I feel like Nimmo's such a like team first guy. He's going to just go with whatever's best for the team, not what's best for him. And so I think that like as long as Harrison Bader's in the lineup, Nimmo will be left field. But I don't know if he'll be able to be in the lineup every day. He's not the strongest hitter. He's not they're going to need to protect, have a spot in the lineup for him. And everybody else is going to need to hit to be able to afford a defensive first player.
I agree. And I think Nimmo will probably, hopefully, I would like to see him still in the leadoff spot. I guess I'd rather a healthy Nimmo playing every day. Where just in the leadoff spot and getting on base and hitting home runs, than him not playing center field. If that's the trade off, right? If he can play more games generally and not be in center field, then I would take that for sure.
I mean, none of us have played in the majors or anywhere close as much as we would have liked to hope. But
didn't Ray get like a season in like during the COVID year? Or
oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah, but like, how much does that matter mentally to a player if Nimmo just switches like every other day between left field and center field? Like, every, let's say Bader plays, doesn't really play often, does that really make a huge difference to Nimmo? I mean, to me, I feel like as a fan, like, yes, screw it, let Nimmo switch around, doesn't really matter. He'll stay in the lineup every day. Whenever Bader is out, Nimmo will just play center field. Like, is that a huge difference?
I think it depends on the player. I think some players might say yes. I don't know about Nimmo, but I do think for some players it would be.
Right. He's so amenable, though, to all changes that it's like, I mean, who knows if he actually cares or not, but I think he'll be fine with whatever they decide, unfortunately. Unfortunately or fortunately.
But that doesn't mean that he would be like thrive in that role.
Right. All right. The next position we have up is third base, which we have the big question of Brett Beatty or Mark Vientos. This will also lead us into the next position, which is DH, which I guess Vientos could also play DH too. He was used there last year, but at third, do we like Beatty or do we like Vientos?
I feel like Beatty was rough at times last year at third base. Like, I want to say Beatty, but he was ugly at third base last year. I'm sure he's worked on it a lot. I'm sure he's gotten better. He's still a young guy. But I'm going to go Vientos, actually. I think I don't think the Mets are going to do that. I think they'll give Beatty the nod, but he was just so ugly last year at times.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there was the one that where he had the dropped pop fly, which when you looked at StatCast, it was quite a hard play. But I feel like there's a lot of instances like that where he just did not look prepared and did not look ready to go, which is this is the year for Brett. I mean, I think he's got to show it this year.
He's got to prove himself. You know, I think he's got the swing, but Vientos has the power. Vientos has got the pop. And like I said, like neither of them are really showing defensively, so I think it's going to come down to a battle of the bat.
I feel like Vientos has more, I won't say momentum, but I feel like he brings more life to the team a little bit. Like, I don't know. I feel like Beatty is very stoic and doesn't really show too much emotion. And it's not, there's no metric behind that, but I don't know. I'm rooting for Vientos. Vientos, smiles, like, there's branding, something to be said about bringing life to the team a little bit, and I feel like Vientos brings a little more of that.
The intangibles. The intangibles, they say.
We shall see. We shall see. All right, the next one was DH. Again, we had last year Mark Vientos sharing some of the time with a man by the name of Daniel Vogelbach, who I don't wish to speak about any further.
Thank God.
But this year, I guess there's a lot of players you could drop into that DH slot. My first thought was DJ Stewart, who, you know, had quite a tear last year when he was playing right field. But I could see him in a DH slot. What do we think? Are there other players you would like to see there?
I think it has to be Vientos. I think they're going to give Beatty the third base, and that means you need to have Vientos, your everyday DH, and give him, like, see what you have with him and actually give him a try. None of this, like, platoon, like, let him hit a home run, sit him for 3 days and let him strike out for, like, he's gotta be every day in the lineup.
I agree. Yeah, I think he definitely suffered last year from the platoon job. And there were times when he would be streaky and it would just cut him short, unfortunately.
And he also had Mauricio in the mix back then. You know, that's one thing we have to take into account this year now. Was this torn ACL or something like that? We will be lucky to see him at all this season.
No, I don't think we'll see Mauricio this season, unfortunately. Sadly.
It takes somebody out of the infield, and it lets, you know, a DH slot open up.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, he had many, you know, at-bats, but he was still a factor in the equation last year.
I think this is an unpopular opinion, but I don't think DJ Stewart is going to break camp with the Mets. I think he's going to be in the minor leagues to start the season.
That's interesting.
I think that there's just nowhere on the roster for him. I do think they're going to let Vientos be everyday DH. I really hope so. And I think there's just nowhere else for him to go.
Mm. Well, they put him in the category as one of the, like, young studs. Like, you know, he's the future. DJ Stewart was a flash in the pan, and, you know, if he proved himself more than he has, maybe he gets that nod. But, you know, I don't disagree with you.
Do you see him, DJ Stewart? You know, this goes into our next one, of the fourth outfielder. Do you see him as a fourth outfielder? Right now, we have a full outfield with Bader, Nimmo, a healthy Marte back. Now we need someone to fill in that fourth outfield slot. Do you see DJ Stewart being that guy, or is it going to be a Tyrone Taylor?
I mean, I strongly think it's going to be Taylor for two reasons. One, he's had a much better spring than DJ Stewart, which, you know, in and of itself might not be a big deal, but DJ Stewart also has options available, which Taylor does not. So
that'll probably be it then.
Yeah,
it's all roster management at this point. Yeah,
with no illegal DL. I'm sorry, IL, IL shenanigans.
Yeah, we don't have Billy Epler to massage the roster anymore. Okay, the next one is for our backup first baseman. Who's going to back up Pete? Is it going to be G-Man Choi? Or is it going to be Luke Voit? I don't really have an opinion on this because I feel like Pete is going to play every day, but
whoever proves himself, like, doesn't Void have some like New York experience, but you know, not as an everyday guy making a difference.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he had that great season in 2020 with the Yankees. He was with the Yankees probably for a total of like 3 years.
2020 the COVID year? Anybody can have a good year in COVID year.
Yeah.
That sample size is so small.
He had like 25 home runs in those 60 games, something like that.
Well, that's pretty good, though.
I would like to add that G-Man Choi and Luke Voit did not get a roster invite, so they are not currently on the 40-man roster. Oh. So as great as they might have been, they are not even eligible to make it. I think right now the race is between Alonso and Vientos.
Oh. Interesting.
That would have been my guess.
That's interesting. I honestly forgot that Mark Vientos can play first base.
He's all over the infield. I don't know if he's a good first baseman, but he was. That's the discussion we had last year between him, Beatty, and Mauricio. They were all infielders.
Yeah.
It looks like he has one inning at first base through spring training, or one game at first base, which is very low. So it seems like it's really Pete's job, which is weird because, like, it looks like G-Man Choi played 9 games at first base, but he didn't get a roster invite. So,
contract.
One person we didn't really talk about, and I think he's had a good spring, although in limited at bats, is Joey Wendell. I think he's mainly a middle infielder, second baseman, third baseman, maybe. Yeah. So it might be maybe he can make the roster as like a backup infielder.
He's a utility. I don't know
if he can play first base at all. But like you said, I think Pete's probably going to play 150 games there if he's healthy, right? Like, probably maybe more, like 100, maybe 155, right? Like,
yeah. I'm a big Joey Wendell guy. I really liked him in the Marlins. He's just super fundamental, real scrappy player. And I think, I mean, we probably got him. We must have signed him after Mauricio went down, I think, because we needed some extra help in the infield.
We signed him in November. I don't remember when Mauricio went down.
So maybe that was right away. So I guess Mauricio, well, I mean, that's why you have depth. If I'm wrong, but, you know, that's why you have a lot of players.
He came from the Angels, no?
No, he came from the Marlins.
He was in Florida his whole career, right? Marlins and Rays?
I'm thinking about a different utility guy.
Thinking of Eduardo Escobar?
It looks like he's hitting 470 in the spring, which is limited at bats, 17, but 470 is pretty good.
Was that four hits? With seven? No, I'm sorry.
Seven hits?
Seven hits?
Not bad. Not bad. All right, and the last one we have is for a backup catcher. I put this on here, but you know, I actually can't find Tomas Nito anywhere on our roster, so I guess the backup catcher is just Omar Narvaez.
He did not make the 40-man roster as well. It is actually a race between him, Narvaez, and Alvarez, which
that
should be an easy answer.
Yeah. You were talking about backup catcher, right? Alvarez is the cat.
Alvarez is the guy, for sure.
He's never going to be a backup.
It should be without debate.
Unless he comes out hitting like 100 through like May, like they're gonna ride him. Like
Narvaez, and then they put. I mean, I don't know. Then I mean, if he is, then they put him in the DH slot. Narvaez, I think. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't think they risk not having a backup catcher on the bench, though.
Oh no, they're not gonna run one catcher. Oh, on the bench, you're saying? Oh, right.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they're gonna put him in DH and regularly.
Well, on the topic of catchers, like I saw an interview where Alvarez was speaking. His English has significantly improved over like the past year, and you know, like I think you see it more with like Japanese ball players because it's such like a different like language gap. But like you rely on the translator, and it's like and you don't really like feel like the weight of, you know, the message. But he was speaking about like his family, about how he feels like a new camaraderie with the team, and how like he's super confident. Like, I think that like, speaks volumes to, like, what he's going to do this year. You know, he already, like, started the year off. He started off the season last year, like, a little shaky, and then really turned it up. And I think it's only going to go forward from there.
I think with the English thing, it's interesting because I think a lot of times, like, you said you see that with, like, Japanese players. And I think it's because of necessity, Riha's. The Spanish-speaking players, there's a lot of Spanish-speaking players in baseball, and like they don't have to learn English to be able to like or be super fluent in English to be able to get along with their team for the most part. Like,
true.
It's a good chance that 40% of their team speaks Spanish, and a lot of the non-native Spanish speakers will speak Spanish too, because they play baseball and that's what people do, right? Like, there's a lot of Spanish speaking, so it's interesting that you said that. I do think you made a point about it last year.
You're absolutely right. Like, I feel like, you know, it's almost like a survival instinct. Like, if you don't have somebody to translate for you, like, how are you going to get by? And there was some kind of crazy storyline I heard with, like, Shohei Ohtani's, like, translator. Like,
it's a good segue.
We could talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, when you're on a team where, like, even if, like, different dialects in Spanish, like, you know, I know, like in South America, Colombian doesn't sound the same way that Dominican sounds, doesn't sound the same way as Puerto Rican sounds, but, you know, it's close enough that, like, you know, you'll have somebody on your team that you could talk to.
Exactly. That's a Shohei bit. I mean, this is like very breaking news just like a few hours ago, where there is some gambling involved with his interpreter, and who knows where it's coming from. Dodgers have fired his interpreter, but we will be sure to follow that as it continues to unfold, because I'm sure we'll hear a lot more.
I feel like we had like a weekly Ohtani watch last year. Now that he's not going to be a free agent, we're not going to pay as close attention to him, or what?
He's not going to be a Met, so, you know, whatever. You know.
He's also not two-way playing this year.
Also true.
Limits some of his like spectacularness.
Yeah. Still very amazing, though. Okay, anyways, all right. To close out some of our roster in this first half, let's talk about some of our rookies who are going to be up or down. Obviously, we have been talking about the 40-man roster with some veterans who will be starting the year in the minor leagues. But we do have a couple players who got invites to spring training who made the 40-man roster. The first one of note is Luis Angel Acuña. He made the 40-man roster. He was mainly in Double-A last year. I don't know if he got called up to Triple-A at all, but I imagine he'll probably start the year in Triple-A this year.
His last name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's something. You know, he was he's the brother of someone who I thought was not a top 25 player in the majors last year.
Remember when you said that?
I think about it all the time.
What like record did he set? Like a 50-50 season?
A 40-70 season?
40-70, something stupid.
40-70.
I still want to believe he's not, but, you know, he's just going to keep proving me wrong, so I just have to pretend like I don't have any opinions about him.
Well, the best desserts would be if his brother's better, and his brother's a lifelong Met.
That would be very sweet. That would be very, very sweet. The other rookie who made the 40-man roster is Alex Ramirez, who frankly I don't know too much about, but he's 21-year-old kid. He was in A-ball last year, so he's young. Maybe they have plans for him. I mean, listen, if you put someone on the 40-man, you see something in him that maybe he could contribute later on in the year. So I guess we'll keep our eye on that, but I don't know too much else about Alex Ramirez.
He's not been spectacular statistics wise. I think he was always sort of like a light hitting center fielder. I think he hit like 220 last year, not a lot of pop in the minors, but like this spring, I feel like I've heard a lot of like ravings about him from like the Mets beat writers and the camp, and they seemed really excited about him this year. He's hitting pretty well in spring training, and I guess he's doing well in the actual like training parts that make them so excited. But yeah, like obviously enough to put him on the 40-man, like you said. And that's big news.
Is he like a power hitter or like a contact hitter?
I think he's been a contact hitter his whole career. I mean, he's young, right? Obviously, I think he's still going to grow. He's 6'3", but like light.
Yeah. They must see something. Yeah, they must see something. But it's, you know, he could be one of those. I feel like it's kind of a. I guess Byron Buxton now can hit for power, but it's like when Byron Buxton came up, he was the same way. Like, really great defensive outfielder, but just a contact guy. But I guess as he's gotten older, he's really developed his power stroke. All right, David.
No, it looks like Ramirez is just 20 or 21. I mean, looks like the youngest person on the 40 man I can see right now. So, I mean, good for him.
Yeah. But he beat out some other names. Cunha. You said there's a couple like guys earlier that Cunha's got
2002. Alex Ramirez was born in 2003.
Sorry, Ray, what was that?
David was saying earlier that there was a couple guys that got knocked off, like who, like Choi and Voight. Like, if you know, they said no to those kind of guys, they must see something in this kid.
Yeah.
Nito.
Nito. I don't want to say the last Nito ever again. All right, so we have our last little section. Is going to be probably bullpen battles. We have a few. Obviously, we have Diaz back as well as some other returning Mets. But Steve, you had some comments about some of our bullpen guys.
Yeah, I mean, so like, you know, most rosters I think come with 8 bullpen guys. So, you know, we have some like obvious and like automatic guys. Like you said, Diaz is going to be in there. Brooks Raley is going to be in there. Ottavino, Jake Dykeman, I think is the big pickup this offseason, right?
Drew Smith,
another one. That's 5 already.
We signed Fujinami.
So that was actually my guy. I think Fujinami is another one I think is going to start in the minors this year. But that was a big signing, like, so maybe not. But he does have options, which is, again, just like such it rules roster construction these days, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think he started as a starter. Well, I think he began last year as a starter, Fujinami.
Did he really?
And he had his first major start was against Shohei. And supposed to be like, you know, a Japanese pitcher versus Japanese pitcher. And he blew up. He had like a 12 ERA in like 3 innings. But he could hit 100. Like, he throws gas.
Yeah, he throws gas, right? Yeah.
So maybe a shift to the bullpen is good. He went to Baltimore at the end of the year last year, I think, too.
Sean Reed Foley's another one I think will probably be like a lock for the Mets bullpen.
I can't believe he's still on the team. Honestly, because I feel like he has been up and down. He's been around the team for so long, and I think when he's on, he's pitches great, but he's just wacky guy. Looking forward to seeing him on the mound again.
He's been dealing with some injuries, Reed Foley. So not to start the year off, but he has arm fatigue already. So not a good start. Very poor endurance there.
I think Jorge Lopez, the Mets signed in the offseason, is having a pretty good spring and had some, like, I don't know, he had a pretty miserable 2023, but he's had a couple of good, he had a good year before that. We'll see. I don't know. He seems like someone who will make the team because he doesn't have options, and give him a start in the bullpen and see what happens.
Well, and, you know, things to account for in the bullpen, we have starters that probably aren't going to make the top, like, starting 5. In most scenarios, they'll be pitching in, like, minor A, I mean, or, like, triple A. But, you know, also see Lucchesi or Buddha in the bullpen if we need it.
You think Eric mentioned earlier when we were off recording that the Mets like announced that they finalized their starting 5 this today, with McGill rounding it out.
Is yeah.
that right, Eric?
Yeah.
So what do we do with Lucchesi and Buddha?
They're in the minors to start the year. They're on the 40 man, but they did not make the 26.
All right.
It's too bad. We'll get into our rotation a little bit after the break. Including talking about Buddha and Lucchesi and the 5 guys who look like they're going to round out our rotation, as well as some of the people who are starting the year on the IL, the rest of the people in our bullpen and our lineup. But before we go to break, I guess we can just touch on the other 2 minor stories to watch this year. We have Alonso, obviously going into his contract year. He is, you know, hopefully going to put up 55 home runs, like Steve Cohen said, so he can just pay him a shit ton of money. But the other one, of course, is Starling Marte's health.
I I think Marte gets through the season healthy. I don't know why I feel that way, but I just have like a weird feeling about it. I think that he had been mostly healthy his career. Obviously, he's getting older, but like I feel like he's going to pace himself, maybe not play 150 games, maybe play 120, but I think he's going to get through the year healthy.
Didn't he say he can play 170?
Sure. Which would put us in, I think we'll be out of the, I mean, but you know, by that count, we'll be out in the NLCS.
We were talking about DH, not to backtrack, but I feel like, can he play DH a little bit? Like, would that be less of a strain for him than playing the outfield every day? At least, like, give him some reps, maybe steal some bases here and there.
I would love for him to steal some bases. I would love for all the Mets to steal more bases.
Well, was Lindor said that he could steal 70 bases this year if he stayed healthy, or 80 bases this year if he stayed healthy?
You say Lindor said that?
Lindor said that.
That's a good teammate, man. That's a really good teammate. All right. I think that'll wrap up our first half. So we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with some Guess the Met trivia, and we'll jump into the rest of our roster. All right, we are back from break with some brand new back from break music. If you could not tell, it's just our intro music, but we have to give you some sense of separation. We'll kick it back off in the second half with a Guess the Met question. And this Met was provided by one of our listeners, Sal, from Sheepshead Bay. So this player was drafted by the Mets in 2000, in the 18th round of the free agent draft in June 2008. This player only played, let's count, 15 games total with, I'm sorry, no, 11 games total with the Mets.
Oh, God.
He made his debut in 2012, and he's a left-handed pitcher. And he is still currently in the major leagues. And I'll give you one more hint before we move on to the rest of our show. He won a World Series championship in 2017.
I know who it is, but can you run that whole thing back again?
All right. Drafted by the Mets in 2008. Made his debut with the Mets in 2012. Played a total of 11 games with the Mets. Left-handed pitcher who won a championship in 2017.
And who inspired the question?
This is a question from Sal from Sheepshead Bay.
I wonder if it's like a homegrown boy, somebody from New York.
We'll see. Well, I guess we will see. I will fact check these by the time we get to the end, but that is our question. So without further ado, I will pass it on to Steve, who will take us away for the second half.
Yeah, so here in the second half, we're going to really cover some more about the Mets' actual starting lineup, some of our starting pitching, the pitching rotation, and some of the actual bullpen and like where we want to see them in the leverage spots and who's going to be in there, and some maybe people who are on the IL and when we might expect them back. But to start off, we're going to talk about our lineup. I think we already talked about the position by position and like any of the battles. So I'll just go over what we think is the consensus on each position. I'll start from catcher and I'll go to right field, just 2 through 9. So Alvarez obviously is our catcher and Alonso at first. We got Jeff McNeil at second and Beatty is our consensus third baseman. Lindor at short, Nimmo, Bader, and Marte from left to right. And then we have probably Vientos, maybe DJ Stewart or Marte on some days at our DH, with a couple of swing options from the bench for days off, like maybe Tyrone Taylor, maybe DJ Stewart, maybe Choi, or we just said Choi's out of the 40 man. maybe Joey Wendell. We'll see what happens there. But let's go through our lineup and see if we can all agree on where people are going to bat. I know you guys all voiced your opinion on this earlier, and I didn't disagree, but I'm going to disagree now. Our leadoff, it sounded like you all want Nimmo as our leadoff guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of agree with that. Yeah.
I, I go against Nimmo only because I feel like he's got a little bit of pop, and I'd rather see his like double pow, like gap to gapness and high on base percentage in this two hole. I think it lengthens the lineup, and I think putting somebody like Jeff over in the leadoff, where he's like pesky and he's like, he gets on base, he gets base hits, and he makes the pitchers work a little bit. I love Jeff in the leadoff spot.
My disagreement with that is, I wouldn't want to see Jeff there. I would want to see Starling Marte there.
If not Nimmo, because
I feel like Marte overall there. What would you say?
You want to see Marte there, if not Nimmo, or you want to see Marte there overall?
No, I want to see Nimmo there overall, but Marte over McNeil.
Gotcha.
And the overall reason I want to see Nimmo there is because he has the discipline. You know, I know Jeff, like, you know, he won a batting title how many years ago, but Nimmo is so good at just, you know, taking 6-7 pitches, getting a walk, and putting a little bit of stress on the opposing pitcher.
That's fair. It's valid.
I agree. I mean, I think that's a great point, Ray, about his play discipline. And that's why I like him up there too. But I think the problem becomes when he gets on base, is he's not really running. He had the year 2 years ago, where he stole three bases or like one base or something. And then even last year with the relaxed rules, he's barely stealing. And I get it. He's worried about getting injured. And I think we had this conversation last year. I'd rather him play every day than be injured trying to steal. But maybe that's a reason to not put him in the leadoff spot, because if we need to move people along and get them around the bases, maybe we want someone who's a little more pesky and a little more wild in a contained way to get out there and take some more bases.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's why my substitution would be Starling Marte. Right. You know, he had what, 20 stolen bases in half a season after injury.
What do you think going about like the Phillies like method and putting somebody like Alvarez as the leadoff hitter?
Alvarez, didn't they have Schwarber?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, comparing it to like how they have Schwarber as the leadoff hitter, just like a guy with a tremendous pop, who just like knock one over the fence. Like,
oh, yeah, he's got three outcomes. It's strikeout, home run, or double.
Walk is the third true outcome. I don't know how much Schwarber actually walks though.
No, it's strikeout, home run, or something else.
How about it? Might
have been a walk, but he didn't have that discipline. Not like Nimmo.
Sure.
I feel like this is, at this point in his career, it's probably not going to be where he wants to hit anymore. Although I bet he probably wouldn't argue it. Lindor, when he was in Cleveland, used to hit in leadoff spot all the time. And I remember probably in the year or two after the Mets traded for Lindor, so sometime in the past couple of years, I was on some sort of Reddit. It must have been like an MLB Reddit or something. And there was some Cleveland fan saying like, they got to take him out of the three hole, like when he's on the Mets, because he is a natural leadoff guy. He's not a power guy. I mean, obviously he went 30-30 last year. But I think, you know, he's getting older, so he has a little more muscle to hit some home runs. But Lindor in the one hole could be pretty interesting. He's more likely to he'll steal bases. I mean, he'll clear out whatever's left on base as well. But it's just interesting. I think there's something to consider.
I remember that it was the first year he was with the Mets. I saw that like all over, showing his like stats as a leadoff hitter versus like with the three hitter, because he was struggling so much with the Mets that year. It'd be interesting. It'd be an interesting alternative.
I still think Nimmo in the one spot. I think he walks enough, and he has such a high on-base percentage. He's leading the team in on-base percentage every year. I think, especially that with the walks, like, I'd rather a guy walking first than, like, walking in the middle of the lineup and have a guy like McNeil who can, like, take a bunch of pitches and get a base hit. I'd rather him be in the middle of the lineup to, like, kind of keep it going as opposed to get a walk in the middle. I don't know. It's probably like all the same. You know, it doesn't really make I don't know how much it really makes a difference, but
I mean, order makes a huge difference, right? Walk, 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 home run is four runs. Home run, walk, walk, walk is one run, right? Like,
Yeah.
No, and especially with our new, you know, management, David Stearns, you know, he's very analytical. You know, numbers like that play a big factor into, like, what happens in the game. You know, Mendoza's supposed to be, you know, the manager or whatnot, but how much control is he going to have in terms of what David Stearns' vision is?
Yeah. I have a feeling that the front office is going to be controlling a lot of lineup decisions, whether we like it or not.
Starting rotation and lineup.
So I think then we can, I think we, as a consensus, we can agree that Nimmo's our leadoff hitter.
Sure.
Without a doubt. At least to start the year.
So I turn number two hitter. Who do we think? My bet, my like feeling is to have Lindor there. What do you guys think?
I like Lindor there. I liked seeing Alvarez there last year too, although Alvarez could, I mean, people can always go cold, but I mean, Alvarez went cold often and having him in the two spot was just not great. It was like when we started with Marte in the two spot and he was really, it was just terrible to see. So I like Lindor in the two spot.
If you know, we're not moving Marte to the one slot, I would love to see Marte at the two slot. So I prefer to see Lindor at the three.
Fair enough. What do you got, David?
I think Lindor at the two. I think it feels like we're far away from 2 years ago when it was Nimmo and then Marte, Lindor. I don't know. Let Marte prove himself a little bit. He hasn't been doing all that great in spring training. Like, move him. Like, definitely, like, he should be playing every day, but I don't want to see him at the top of the lineup just yet. I'd rather Nimmo and then Lindor, like, two all-star guys leading things and getting off to a good start.
Well, then who's three?
I think
you
hit the nail on the head. I think that if we had 2022 Marte, that's a different story, but let him prove himself.
For three, I would say either Alvarez or McNeil. I mean, I feel like kind of play it, see how it goes. I feel like Alvarez, like if he can kind of like do what he did, he definitely went cold a lot last year though. So I would hate for him to like be stuck there if he's not, you know, he's just still very young. But I don't know, if McNeil could do what he did 2 years ago and win the batting title, I would love to see that at three.
Yeah, he feels good. He feels good at three. I think also it's like he helps the he helps the left-right switch, right? He's a lefty coming off. Lindor is a switch hitter going into what I assume we're all going to pick Alonso to in the cleanup spot.
He's
a right-handed hitter. So I like McNeil there. I would also consider him at five, but then I don't know who I would put at three if I put him at five.
I would put Pete at three. Am I crazy?
No, really?
I feel like he's got pop. It's also fine with the lefty-righty switch. Although I guess I would put Alvarez probably behind him if you're having that.
I'm putting Alvarez like at six or five.
Interesting. But yeah, I like Pete at three. I think he gives some pop. Even if he's not hitting like home runs, he's hitting doubles. I think that if he hits 270... after the year that Jeff just had, again, it's like a similar situation with Marte. It's like, prove yourself, you know, like he did not have a great year last year. Like McNeil batting, if he gives us what he gave us last year, three is
how many rough. Home runs did he have?
Who,
McNeil?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Pete.
Oh, Pete.
He was like 40.
What was his number last year? 40 something?
41, maybe 42, something like that. Wait, so if you have Pete at three, then who do you have batting fourth? You have Alvarez batting fourth?
Probably have Alvarez batting fourth, yeah.
I mean, I think his reputation is growing, but right, if you talk about when, you know, when pitchers come up, you see the heart of the lineup. Right, okay, so you see, let's say you see 2-3-4. You got to deal with Lindor, who you can maybe get out. Then you have Pete. Let's say Lindor's on. You can't, if you try to pitch around Pete to try to get to Alvarez, then Alvarez is a matchup I would definitely take. If I didn't want to face Alonso, I would certainly want to face Francisco Alvarez instead.
That's a good point.
McNeil is like, I think he gives Pete that protection because he's just a good defensive hitter that like you can try to pitch around him and like McNeil will just find a way to poke it and is kind of good just putting the ball in play.
But you have the same thing if you have McNeil batting third and then who do you have fifth? It's still Alvarez, right?
Good point,
Alvarez is still batting behind Pete wherever you put him in the lot, right? Like,
yeah.
Or, I mean, you know, there's other options. Marte is still there. Vientos, we haven't talked about yet.
Beatty. Beatty's out of discussion.
But it sounds like McNeil's our consensus number three here. If David, you and Eric are sticking with McNeil.
I guess. I guess to the point of like Pete's protection. I don't know who else you would have to follow Pete.
Let's run it back. So number one is Nimmo. Who's number two?
Lindor.
Three is?
Sounds like McNeil.
I think Steve convinced me. I would honestly agree with him and Alonzo at three. Sorry to change everyone, throw a wrench in that. But.
I know he's like not like the prototypical three hitter, but he hits 270. Like it's not okay bad.
He hit 270 2 years ago. He hit 207 last year or 217 last year. So it's
fair enough. So that's
either way, he is clutch and he brings in the RBIs. And I think him and what's his name, Lindor, the guys who are bringing in runs, like they should be at the top of the lineup.
Yeah. This is when we really needed like a JD Martinez pickup or someone.
There's been some rumors this week. Speaking of, I didn't want to bring it up yet, but there were some rumors that the Mets are looking at JD Martinez.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I think it was Heyman reporting that, and you know, he hasn't had the best track record over the last few years, but
yeah, John Heyman, yeah. But I mean, yeah, having some more protection for our big guys in the middle of the lineup or at the heart of the lineup could be real good.
Yeah, Pete has never had like a big bopper or someone you'd be scared of behind him, right? Even when we were hitting well, like there's no one like you would be as scared of as Pete or even close to it, right? Like no one to even give you pause about pitching around Pete.
Yeah.
Which is why like his chase rate has always been such a huge indicator of how he performs, right? Like when he's chasing balls because no one's pitching him strikes, like you can pitch to him.
Yeah,
but like if he's not going to chase that and he just takes his walks, it's hard to get around him.
All right.
So penciling Alonzo for three.
I'll see it. I can work
causing
with
you
it.
Physical pain. Eric.
I can work with it.
I disagree with the entire list at this
just
point.
Like a last note on this Alonzo at three. He is on a contract year. Like, I don't know where he prefers to hit, but he's going to get a lot more at-bats over the course of the year if he's batting three versus four. I don't know.
That's pretty interesting. If he wants to vouch for himself a little bit and see him in there.
All right, definitely. Moving on to the cleanup spot. Since Alonzo's taken in the three spot, who do we have to clean up?
Well, you can't say it's taken because this is personal opinion.
Sure.
I'm not co-signing any of this at this point.
Consensus opinion of the voting four of us.
I would say now give me Jeff. I think having Jeff McNeil as a cleanup hitter sounds ridiculous, but I think
having Schwarber as a leadoff hitter.
I'd rather have
like
Harrison Bader.
Sure,
man.
And
Jeff McNeil.
You want Harrison Bader batting cleanup?
Jeff McNeil's not a cleanup hitter.
let's get rid of these traditional senses of the word, you know?
I actually really like that idea. I was going to say Alvarez, but I think McNeil's actually a really good choice.
He just hits, man. Jeff McHits.
Anymore.
So say they walk Alonzo to get to McNeil, right? Like,
yeah.
You can bank on McNeil getting a base hit, right? Like a good
chance. I would, yeah. Yeah.
And like at least it moves the lineup going, and like then you put people on base in front of another home run hitter, right? Like even if there's no one on base and you have McNeil, then like say you go 1-2-3 in the first inning and you have McNeil and then Alvarez and you have somebody who has some pop behind, you know, someone good in front of him.
Yeah.
Actually, I like McNeil for four.
Man, I love this unconventional lineup. It was great.
What are you thinking, David?
I'm going to stick with Alvarez at four. I'm going to stick with a little more convention there and put the guy with the pop at four. McNeil has said in the past he likes to be a little lower in the lineup as well. He likes five. He likes to see more pitches. So there's something to be said that where he likes to be, you know, give him something he's happy about. I'm going to stick with that. You know, how often are you pitching around people? You know, like, I feel like that's a good situation to be in as well. Like, oh, yeah, like, they're real scared. We have, like, a tough lineup. Let's pitch around Alonzo to get to the next guy. Like, I don't know. Let's think, like, first inning, start the game off strong. You really going to be pitching around these guys? I feel like they're going to just go at him.
I think that when you have, I'm not saying our lineup is weak, but I think when you have a weak lineup, you are apt to like not give those one or two good people strikes to hit. Like, even if you're not like scared of the line, you know, scared of the first inning, who cares? But like, if I can throw balls to Pete Alonso and have like Harrison Bader behind him, like I'm going to do that. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
or no.
So Alvarez. We're going for the cleanup, it sounds like. Ray, what was you, Ray, other than Bader? I'm assuming that was a joke.
My cleanup is Pete.
Your cleanup is Pete. So
I know that like the whole group is claimed Pete, but it's a fucking no brainer. Ask a million people in the world who's batting cleanup for the Mets. And if you show me anybody that says it's not Pete Alonso.
Right, yeah.
Call you a liar.
Yeah. Do you want the guy whose nickname is Squirrel as your cleanup hitter, or do you want the guy whose nickname is Polar Bear as your cleanup hitter?
What are you talking about? Big Meat Pete. I just saw a Topps baseball card where he's fielding a ground ball, and his whole jock strap is hanging down to the ground, and it's just like, well, that guy, he really knows what he's doing out there. And David mentioned it. He's in a contract year. You think he's trying to get on base? He's mashing the ball. He wants to be in a position where there's three people on base. Okay, you want a Nemo that gets a walk. You want a McNeil.
You just told me, Ray, a McNeil that gets a walk. Alonso more at bats.
Yeah.
Fuck at bats. This guy's never been an at bat player. He's a home run hitter.
But Alonso is hitting 289 in spring training and has two home runs.
We want Lindor with at bats.
You only bat cleanup once in the first time around the lineup. After that, it's all a crapshoot, right?
Like, Lindor had 602 at-bats last year. Pete had 568. Who had a better fucking stat line? Guy with less at-bats. I got the stat cards right here.
All right, but Pete wants to hit like 55 dongs, man.
He wants a contract.
Yeah, so then he wants to be in the lineup. Like, you get more chances at home runs if you're in the lineup earlier.
Right, if Pete had 20 more at bats, maybe he hits two more home runs.
Okay, sure. You're not convincing me.
Maybe he hits three more home runs, right? Like,
all right. unfortunately, we are at the fifth player. Now we have to make some more decisions about the end of the lineup.
At this point, like, don't talk to me because
don't talk to
everybody in my 5 to 7 are already selected in the first four.
What?
From 5 to 7 are selected in the first four?
No, my 5, 6, and 7 is Alvarez, Marte, Beatty.
Those are all still available.
True. All
right, I like Alvarez.
Maybe Alvarez is not there.
Do we all like Alvarez at 5?
Yes, I like Alvarez at 5.
I think, yeah. Ray, the only thing you're disagreeing with is the flopping of Alonso and McNeil here. Let's not get too dramatic.
True. Well, no, I honestly want to see Marte earlier.
Fair enough.
I wanted to see Marte in the two. But
all right,
you guys, David, convinced me, and like I penciled it in. Alvarez. I penciled it in a little early.
I mean, I liked Alvarez at 4, but, you know, we're past that. I'm going to go with Alvarez at 5.
We're not here for that opinion.
We're all past that.
Yeah.
I would see Marte at 6 now.
That's where I go.
Alvarez, Marte is lefty? No,
Marte is a switch, right?
Marte's a righty. Marte's a righty. As is Alvarez.
Beatty's a lefty. I could see them slotting him in here just to have him switch it up.
Yeah.
That's low in the order for Marte for once we're after that point.
Yeah.
Because like David said it earlier, McNeil feels comfortable lower down in the lineup.
McNeil's already batting
shouldn't
third
be
now.
That high up.
I don't know what you want from us. We wrote it in a Word document. It's over. You can't erase that shit.
We're submitting it to Carlos Mendoza. Stack. Once
I have so many places. It's my Apple Notes. This is my notebook. That's the Google Doc.
All right. At 6, I mean, Marte. Beatty, if he's playing well.
I'm saying Beatty to go the lefty switch, and they're comfortable batting next to each other. Alvarez,
they do like
Beatty.
That. They do like that.
The kids love it.
They do love that. All right, I'll take Beatty at 6.
David?
That's my vote of confidence for the kid.
I would say Vientos at six.
Ooh.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's kind of sad to have our DH, whose position title is designated hitter, be batting in the eighth slot, you know. But
Ray, who do you got?
Six. I got Marte.
All right, we got two for Beatty, one Vientos, and one Marte. Beatty, it is.
Nice. Then I have Then I'll take Marte at seven.
Marte seven was my Beatty, so I guess.
All right, another flip flop for Ray.
So two Martes at seven.
What do you, David? You disagree?
I'll take Marte at seven.
We're all, I guess at this point, we're all feeling Vientos at eight.
Yeah.
I would say Beatty at eight, but you know, that's fine. Vientos at eight.
Maybe we could run through our own ideal lineups after this real quick.
We agreed on Vientos over Stewart.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens in the season.
Say Vientos slash Stewart, the DH spot over here. Yeah, that leaves us with Bader for nine. Not a great career hitter. I think, you know, he's the defensive center field, like we said before. That's what his role is here. He's going to be the ninth hitter probably most of the year unless someone else struggles or he gets into, like, a real hot streak.
Yeah, I agree with him there. I mean, and he's quick. I mean, it was just nice to have in the nine hole.
A little bit of chemistry with Pete Alonso from college, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They did go to college together, right?
They did. University of Florida.
Gators.
All right.
So let's wrap it up.
So what is our final rotation look like that the four of us brilliant minds came up with?
I'm just going to run through the lineup one real quick, and then we'll go to the rotation just to remind everybody. We got Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, McNeil, Alvarez, Beatty, Marte, DH, so Vientos / Stewart, and then Bader.
I like it. I think it's functional.
I'm very excited to see how it compares to our actual opening day lineup. We shall see.
I agree with you guys that it's probably going to flip Lindor, McNeil, or something like that. But
Lindor batting four.
McNeil, Alonso. I do like how we have it. Yeah, our rotation. I think Ray wrote this out, and I think he probably hit it on the head. Quintana, Severino, Minaya, and the Hauser and Miguel.
Quintana is already announced as opening day starter, right, so right. We know he's so
that one's a slam dunk. At least
he's landed there.
Yeah.
Anybody disagree with that? Notes?
No. I mean, Severino, right? He looked like he hit a couple good starts. Manaya's had a good start since he's chopped all that hair off. I actually haven't seen anything from Adrian Hauser yet. I don't know if he's even pitched this spring so far.
I think, like, off, like, face value, like, we're going off, you know, who we paid people for. Like, obviously, if Senga didn't get hurt, he'd be in the contention.
Sure. Yeah.
Peterson didn't get hurt, you know, he'd be in the discussion. But, you know, the top four, Quintana, Severino, Manaea, and Hauser, we gave contracts. McGill's still coming up. Lucchesi is on a small deal, and Budo probably hasn't gotten a major league deal. You know, it only makes sense that this is where they landed, unless one of them had a great spring, which...
Yeah.
No.
That's a great point, Ray. Yeah, I think, like, for all of my hoping and wishing that Joey Lucchesi would be in our rotation, they're paying these four other guys for a reason. Because they're major league talent, and Lucchesi, you know, I hope all these pitchers have great years and don't get hurt. But if they do, Lucchesi should be the first guy up.
Well, and McGill's like our number five pitcher, and he had one of the highest innings pitched for the Mets last year. So that just goes to show, like, where we're keeping him in the lineup.
Yeah,
it's because none of our pitchers are still here from last year.
They're all hurt.
I think David noted this earlier when we were going through this, but except for McGill, every one of these guys is over 30.
Yeah. Quintana leading the pack at 35.
At least, I mean, last year, our guys were close to 40. So.
Yeah. Yeah, our guys were above 40, which is...
we need Sango to come back soon.
Yeah.
Keep our eye on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much rounds up our roster review. I think I feel pretty good about knowing where I am at where we are with the Mets right now going into the year. Obviously, there'll be still a few decisions left to make to finalize the 26-man roster, and I'm sure we'll go through that next week when we record just the day before the season starts. But I think let's get back to Eric's Guess the Met. Eric, can you remind us of your hints?
All right. Again, this player was a left-handed pitcher. Drafted by the Mets in 2008, made his major league debut in 2012, and played for a total of 11 games on the Mets before being traded. And he is currently still playing in the major leagues and won a championship in In January 2024, he announced his retirement from baseball, but he played as recently as last year.
Okay.
But he won a championship in 2017.
I've got to say I'm pretty stumped.
All right.
I know the Astros won in 2017, right? So that narrows it down a bit.
Yeah.
I can't think of any left-handed pitchers off the top of my head on their team. Colin McHugh, is he lefty?
Colin McHugh is left, and he is the correct answer.
No.
Colin McHugh is the right answer.
That's pretty.
There you go. That's first guess. Great job, Steve. Yeah. I don't know. David or Raid, what were you going to say?
I was thinking Dylan Betances.
Dylan Betances.
It's a really good.
Because I know he was with the Yankees.
He was drafted by the Yankees.
And maybe I misheard like the hint about the champ, the winning team, but for some reason like it just kind of clicked, and I was thinking him over like Chapman.
No. I think Liriano might have pitched for them as well. I don't know.
Francisco Liriano.
Betances came to us like for it was a big signing, a semi big signing, and
yeah, typical he was, hurt right.
pitcher throughout the minors. I mean, spring training never got up there.
No, very good guess, Steve. Yeah, he played for just we brought him in 2012. He came in 2013 too. We traded him to the Rockies, and then I guess he signed with the Astros and was there. And then he had a year with the Rays, and he ended his career with the Braves. We saw him in Atlanta last year.
I did not remember he pitched for the Mets at all. I just
was his name again
that I knew was on. Houston that
Colin
year.
McHugh. He had a real nasty curveball.
Colin McHugh?
I think I had him in fantasy one year.
Wow, I'm actually completely wrong. I've just been lying to you guys. He's actually a righty. He's actually not a lefty.
Oh, that's what threw me off.
That's what threw you off. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you had gotten
if I knew right, that it was the other way around, I was for sure wow. gonna get it.
I'm full of shit. I'm sorry.
Right, run it back. New guess the Met.
New guess. Maybe I'll give you guys one a little better, a little more to do. So you can deduce a little easier next time.
I like how difficult this is.
All right. Well, we'll get there next time, maybe. But that will probably do it for us this week on Foolishly Faithful. We are 1 week from opening day. How many days?
Woo!
Eight
days. Amazing. Yeah, I think next for
tomorrow.
Yeah.
7 days and 15 hours.
Ooh, we are close. We are close, gentlemen. Opening day for the Mets is March 28th, I believe.
Yep.
On the Thursday.
First pitch
our next
at 1:10.
Is it 1:10? I thought it was a 12:10 first pitch.
You guys better not be late. Don't be late to the game. We will have one more episode before opening day. We'll have one next week. Get some excitement going for the season. Make our bets and our stat predictions for all of our players.
Don't we owe you tickets for last year?
Me.
It was you, right?
Or oh, because I won all the stat predictions.
It was close between you two. Who won it?
Oh.
I don't remember. I think Eric won. We'll fact check that.
You can take me out next time I come back.
What was that?
You
got
to come to New York for that. So.
I know.
What was that website that does the predictions for standings?
Oh, Pecota?
Yeah.
Pecota.
I think it's Pecota. FanGraphs one.
Or baseball. Well, I saw we'll them for this Pecota. Year, and they had the Mets at like 84 wins, and I'm just like, all right, stop hating.
Hey, the Phillies made the playoffs with an 84 win season the last 2 years, I believe.
So that we'll see how it goes. All right. Well, that'll wrap us up. As always, thank you for joining us here on Foolishly Faithful. If you have any questions, concerns, fan mail, hate mail, Mets to guests, sponsorships, you could be a contributor to this podcast too. You can email us at foolishlyfaithfulmetspod@gmail.com or on Instagram at foolishly_faithful. On behalf of Ray, David, and Steve, this is Eric. Thank you so much for joining us, and LFGM.
Till I die.
I was typing, did sound.